Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriao's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Soriao.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. 27 minutes left. We were talking to Joanna before the break, and Joanna was telling us about her two daughters who had ACL surgeries when they were in high school. Now they're 20-21, and she was asking if there's any kind of joint supplement that we would recommend. Was that about right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. So, little sidebar note. I've had both my ACLs torn. Every one of my cousins have torn their ACL, and we are currently conducting a kind of a genetic study on ACL injuries in families. And your family would be one of those people, one of those families that we enter in the study. We're doing a study with LSU Sports Medicine Department, and it's interesting. What did mom or dad ever tear an ACL, or any cousins tear ACLs in your family?
We've had a cousin, and my husband, you know, has had some sports related injuries. He never had surgery, but he does have, you know, pain in his knee. You know, I'm sure it could have been something like a meniscus type tears or things like that, but it was never warranted of something at that time as surgical procedure needed to be done.
Right. Well, the fact that you had two daughters, they would clearly be entered in our study. So let's back up a little bit. And I always tell my patients, whenever you're thinking about an ACL injury, which is the anterior cruciate ligament injury, you need to separate in your mind the difference between stability and pain. Because if pain is your issue, it's probably not the ACL. If stability is your issue, then it is the ACL. So if your daughters are, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down from surgery and they're complaining of pain, it ain't the ACL. It could be tendonitis. It could be meniscus. It could be early arthritis, but it's not the ACL. If 2 or 3 years down the road, they're complaining of my knee buckles, I don't trust it, well, then it is ACL. Having said that, I'm not sure of any supplement or injection that will strengthen your ACL in order to avoid injury. I don't know of anything.
No, neither do I. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I don't think there's any such thing for that. Are there joint supplements? Yes. Glucosamine, chondroitin, you know, you mentioned collagen. If your girls eat a regular diet and they eat meat, they're getting collagen. So none of that has been scientifically proven. None of it. So to answer your question, I don't know of anything preventative.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for that information. I truly do appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Keep listening and tell your friends.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all. Take care. All right. Happy holidays.
Boy, up until then, the show kind of took an interesting twist because there were so many things left unsaid, but...
No, it doesn't have to be left unsaid. It was an observation that I noted. I was telling Dr. Levy, one of our partners at Texas Sports Medicine, yesterday, I love having the time to think about my patients. I love that. And I had a couple of really interesting cases this past week that one of them I've never seen before. And I was telling Levy, I said, look, I've examined 30,000 new patients over my career, and I've never seen what this little girl had.
Mm-hmm.
She's got something,
but
I've never seen it before. And I took time to think about it. I spent time with mom and dad. I took time to think about it. I'm still thinking about it right now, trying to figure out, you know, where we're going to go with this. And I realized that this is something that comes from the heart, because it's certainly not something that comes from the economics. If I was on their plan, and I'm not downplaying $80. It's probably a lot of money to, but if I was, it would not be cost effective for me to spend 2 or 3 hours in the library trying to figure out what's going on with this girl to make $80.
To run a business is no way you'd be able to.
And that was the point of what I brought up in the previous segment, in that when you walk into a room, you want to help that patient, or are you looking at them as a revenue source?
Running a business.
Right. Well, and it's hard to balance that in medicine.
It is. And previously, when you and I started out, we didn't really have to be very good at running a business because
exactly
things just kind of ran themselves in the economics.
You send a bill for what was called reasonable and customary, which is what was the average price in your neighborhood, and you got a check. Right. It was that simple.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, this managed care
third party.
This is all right. So I'm involved in an outside venture that builds widgets, and one of the things that you do when you have a business is you come up with a business plan. And a very important part of any business plan, I guess it's business 101, is how much does it cost you to make the widget? How much are you going to sell the widget for? All right.
Cost of business.
Yep. So I was looking at one of my friends and I said, well, that's not how it works in medicine. He goes, what do you mean? I said, the price you're going to sell it for is fixed because somebody says, that's all I'm paying you for your widget.
And they have nothing to do with providing care.
How
they
can
have
you?
Nothing to do with the actual service or product being delivered.
How can you possibly run a business when somebody says, this is all I'm paying you for a light bulb?
And which, by the way, that business that's third party is into making money too. They have to make money too.
Yeah. So look, I'm just explaining to my listeners that in no other business are you required to care for another individual, and then this is all we're going to pay you. This is an allowed amount. Can you imagine how lawyers would work?
To tell you how messed up the system is.
I don't want to turn this into a bitch session, but I do want to make sure that people understand. We run a tightrope. We are on a tightrope.
Well, our customers, our patients, are not the payers.
Right.
So basically, as a consumer, and we're consumers too because we're all patients at some point, we are not paying our providers. We're paying an insurance company who their customers are actually their shareholders, not you.
Right.
So really, as a patient, no one's looking out for you if we as doctors don't look out for
Correct.
You.
Correct.
So that's why it's so important to find a doctor you trust and that's doing the right thing, that looks at you as a patient and not a revenue source.
And you should not make a decision on your health, which is what we all do. What a lot of people do is they make a decision on their health based on what insurance plan they have. And I know that's like, what are you talking about, Dr. Bullock? How does that work? In no other way does something outside of what you need as a product or service influence whether you're going to get it or not. If we always talk about the car, the mechanic, if you need your car fixed, you ask around, hey, who's a good mechanic? This, that, and the other. And you go to this person and you go in with no barrier to seeing them. Whereas now people come to us and it's like, well, I want to see you. Hold on, but let me see if
you're
if
on
I'm
my
on
list.
The plane.
You guys have to be our advocates because it's, again, let's use the mechanic concept that you just tossed out. If it was a set fee for fixing my car, no matter where you went, it's a set fee for fixing my car. How are those businesses going to survive?
Right.
I go back to no other venture that I am aware of where they say, Mr. Apple, the most you can charge for your phone is $200. How is Mr. Apple ever going to come up with new phones?
How will the person delivering the phone be incentivized to deliver a great phone?
And hence, when a doctor walks in the room, are they looking at you as a revenue source, or are they looking at you as, hey, how am I going to help you?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you that the answer is going to lie in fewer and fewer of the better doctors are going to take insurance. It's that simple.
You know what someone told me the other day?
It's that simple.
I know we want to move on to the next thing, but you know what a patient told me the other day? They said, or a friend told me, he said, you know what? Over the last few years, every time I've gone to the doctor, I feel like I'm being rushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said, every doctor I go to, I feel like I'm being rushed. I feel like as soon as they get in the room, they're trying to figure out how to get out.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, that's the way it is, except not at our place. All right, I want to shift gears. I want to go a little bit lighter. So it's college bowl games, bowl season, college bowl season. Yes. The Poulan Weed Eater Bowl.
The Poulan.
And I don't even know if it's still around. Should an NFL prospect play in a meaningless bowl game? Look at Jalen Smith.
Yes.
Notre Dame, Ohio State. It's a big game.
Correct.
It wasn't for a national championship, but it was a big game.
Yep.
He played. Terrible, terrible, terrible injury. And cost him 2 years and no telling how many millions. And,
right.
You know, thank goodness the Cowboys rolled the dice on him, because if they didn't, I don't know anybody that would have.
Yes. That turned out to be a good story.
A good story, but it's only because someone rolled the dice and they gambled and they won.
Right.
But there are discussions about whether he, in the future, a player should play or opt out. And my spin on it, and this is a sports medicine thing, football is a collision sport. Injuries are going to happen, and some injuries are a lot more devastating than others. And if it was, I look at some of these meaningless bowl games as the equivalent of a preseason game in the NFL or NBA. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to earn a spot in the NFL draft, then you play. If you're a veteran and you're going to start come day one, I'm going to sit out preseason.
Right.
So I view these meaningless bowl games as the equivalent of a preseason exhibition, and some of the higher-priced sure things are not going to play.
Wow. There's some – I don't see the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl anymore.
It used to be.
There's the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Are you kidding me?
Gasparilla. There's the Tropical – I'm reading these. Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl.
That was last night.
Yeah.
That was last night.
Let's see. There's some other funny ones.
So I'm not finished with my take. My take is this is going to force the expansion of the playoffs much sooner, because a lot of the big guys aren't going to play mm-hmm. if it's a meaningless game.
Right.
If it's a meaningful game and you are playing for a championship, you're going to play. And so they're going to go from 4 teams to 8 teams to 16 teams rapidly because of this subject that I'm talking about.
Right.
My opinion.
Well,
Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Nice. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl?
I'm not sure I want that jersey in my man cave.
Why is it not the Tony the Tiger Frosted Flake Bowl?
Because that would have been really too...
And for those of you that like Cheez-Its, there's a Cheez-It Bowl.
Cheez-It Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. But Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl? Which actually has
a kind of a double meaning. A bowl of Cheez-Its or a Cheez-It Bowl football.
Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes Bowl.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
It should be, but
so what are your thoughts on this? If your son or daughter was a starting quarterback on Buffalo State, I'm just making this up.
Right.
And he may very well be first round pick in the NFL. Would he play in the Cheez-It Bowl?
No.
I mean, that just sounds stupid.
Well, no. It's hard to justify playing in a game like that when there's really no, you have everything to lose and not much
you
to
can't
gain.
You can't buy an expensive enough insurance policy that if you got a serious injury,
right.
that it would compensate for what you lost by
playing in the Cheez-It Bowl.
So then it becomes, you know, assessing the value of the bowl game. Is this bowl game worth me, you know, doing? If you're in the top four teams.
It's an exhibition.
But no, here's my question. If you're, you know, Ohio State, first round draft pick and you're playing in one of the big time bowls, you're probably going to play.
Exactly.
But if Ohio State didn't do that good this year and they're playing in the, you know,
look
whatever
at my
bowl.
Look at my Notre Dame people. My Notre Dame people are 10-2. They're playing in some no-name bowl.
Against?
Iowa State, which has five losses. I mean, Come on.
So,
and if I was their number one draft pick wide receiver, I'm not sure I'd play.
Yeah.
All right, I can't blame you. Quick little break. Inside Sports Medicine. Love your thoughts on this. Coming right back.